Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Thank you. It's a joy to see you all. And it's good to see some faces who we haven't seen in a while. And it's good to see some new faces this morning. Welcome to you all. I will put in another plug for the Christmas Eve meeting for tonight. I've seen the program for tonight, and I have to be honest, I'm still disappointed that the Stella Boys are not performing tonight. I'll be praying for that this afternoon. But it should be a good time of fellowship and a good time to celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior. And we would encourage all, if you can make it, to come out this evening and celebrate with us. You know, in my conversations with people as we get closer to Christmas time, there are typically two kinds of reactions or two kinds of thought processes as we get closer to Christmas. And one is that there are people who are very excited about Christmas time. In November, they start breaking out their Christmas decorations and songs, and they really start looking forward to this time of year. And then there are those who say, "It's Christmas already? Where did the year go?" And I don't know which of those categories you fall into, but we're glad you're here this morning. And we look forward to spending the rest of our time thinking about what the reason is for this season. Julio read for us the familiar passage in Luke chapter 2, the account of Christ's birth. It documents the setting, the proclamation, and the confirmation of Jesus' birth. And last year, as with this year, I had the opportunity to speak and give a more topical message related to Christmas. Typically, we go through our systematic teaching of God's Word, but at this time of year, we set aside some time and we do a topical teaching on Christmas. And it's been my privilege to have that message the last 2 years. And last year, we spent our time in this same passage, and we looked at it from the view of three participants, the angels, the shepherds, and Mary. And we spent our time looking at this entire passage. This year, as I started preparing for this message and started meditating on what the Lord might want to be shared this morning, He really had me in just one verse in this passage. And that is verse 10. And it says, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And so there are three components to this verse, and we really won't focus on all three. We're going to focus on just one, but the verse starts out by the angel saying, "Do not be afraid." And if we look at the setting here, here are a set of shepherds who are out in the fields at night, just any night like many, many others that they've spent in the fields, when all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears. And I don't know if you've seen the news the last couple of days, and you've seen that there are many people who, at the sight of this launch that was in California, started taking pictures and wondering what these lights were in the sky. But can you only imagine what it would be like in a starry night to have the angel of the Lord suddenly appear? Imagine if that took place now. How many people would have their phone out and saying, look what I'm seeing. Can you believe it? And the news would go around the world in a matter of minutes. But that wasn't God's intent. He had a specific time and he had a set of specific people to deliver his message to. And it was these shepherds out in the field. And the first thing that needed to be communicated was, do not be afraid. It would have been awe-inspiring. It would have been trembling time to see the angel of the Lord suddenly appear. And yet, the message was not one of bad news. The message was not something that they should be afraid of. So the angel said, do not fear. I bring you good tidings. This is good news. And the last part of this verse is really where I want to spend our time. The message was one of great joy. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. There is great joy associated with the announcement and also with the arrival of the baby Jesus. Joy. Such a small word with such a big meaning to the events that happened that night. Joy. I started really meditating on that word. And I'll tell you, we went caroling, those of you who were able to join us and go out and go caroling at the beginning of December. And we had the opportunity to go to various places and just sing Christmas carols to people. And one of the ones that we sang at most of the places that our group stopped was Joy to the World. And Dad didn't disappoint. We didn't talk at all before this, and it was the first song we sang this morning. Joy to the world. And the first verse goes, joy to the world, the Lord is come. And the second, joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Repeat the sounding joy. And there are many other, as I walk through our hymnal and just looking at the various Christmas songs, there are many others that also describe the joy that is associated with this event. O come, Emmanuel. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to earth, O Israel. O come, all ye faithful. This is another one that we sang this morning. Joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss, joy, joy, Jesus Christ was born for this. And there is a song in our hymnal, and Lisa actually played it in between the meetings, but we did not sing it this morning, and it's 144. And the hymn is, how great our joy, while by the sheep we watched at night, glad tidings brought an angel bright. There shall be born, so he did say, in Bethlehem, a child today. There shall a child lie in a stall, this child who shall redeem us all. This gift of God will cherish well, that every joy our hearts shall fill. How great our joy. Great our joy. Joy, joy, joy. Joy, joy, joy. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. And so, not only do we remember now, but in that time when the baby was announced and arrived, there was great joy involved in this event. And it didn't start just with the event. If you're in Luke 2, where the passage was read, turn back a page or so to Luke chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Nor would the birth and the announcement of the birth be the last time that this joy would be described around the arrival of our Savior. If we go to the end of the chapter of Luke 2 and we look at the accounts of Simeon and Anna, you see their joy. Again, the Holy Spirit reveals to them in the temple that this is the Christ child who has been brought. And you can see their expressions of thankfulness and joy at seeing the Savior. And it didn't stop just there, but if we flipped over to Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, here we read, "When they heard the king," this is the wise men who had come seeking the Savior, and here they had gone to King Herod trying to find out his location. And this part of the passage, "When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Wise men, ones seeking signs, familiar with the prophecies. They wanted to see this promised Messiah. They were filled with joy. It says they were filled with exceedingly great joy when the star moved to point out where the child was. Joy. It is associated with this one, this child that had come, this event, but not only just the event itself. It was more so, here is the one, the promised one of God who has come to earth, and there is joy associated with him and with his coming. So we want to take a little bit of time and talk about what is joy. A very strict dictionary definition of joy is an emotion of gladness. The feeling of great pleasure. And many would equate joy with happiness. They're both emotions. They're both feelings of pleasure. They're both good and satisfying emotions. And man has the ability to experience this gladness. We can be joyful in simple things, can't we? If the weather is nice on a given day, we seem to be happier, right? When we meet with a friend, it uplifts our day. Deanne is probably not the only one here who was happy this week to get past the shortest day of the year and know that the days are now getting longer. We can be joyful in more significant events in our lives too. I know my kids are very joyful at the end of their semesters when all the finals and all the projects and everything else that need to be done have been delivered. Maybe it's a graduation. Maybe it's a wedding. Maybe it's the coming of a child, the birth of a child. These things are wonderful days in our lives, and they bring us joy. But this type of joy can be very fleeting. We can wake up happy about how the weather is in the morning, and when it's raining in the afternoon, be very discouraged. We can go from being very excited to be with a friend to being saddened about the fact that they're going to go away for an extended period of time, and we won't see them. If you prefer the cold or the warm weather, then whether the days are getting shorter or the days are getting longer is a different kind of reaction. When a relationship ends, or we have children that go through trials, or we experience trials in our lives, this human happiness is a very fleeting thing. And we can become discouraged and we can become filled with sadness as opposed to the gladness. These are natural things to us. We don't need to think about, well, should I be happy today or shouldn't I be happy today? When I see my friend, will I be happy or won't I be happy? This is natural emotions. We can be happy at things that are going well, and we can be sad when things are not. It's not something we have to think about, not something we have to plan for, not something that we have to put into place. But these are our natural feelings. So I have a main question for us then this morning. What is different about God's joy? What is different about the joy associated with this child who had been born, that it is described as exceedingly great? As we went through Galatians, and we studied what are the fruit of the Spirit. It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. joy is in this list. It is one of the characteristics of the result of who God is. It says, and we have it throughout Scripture, God is love. We could almost equally say God is joy. There's something different about the joy he provides than the natural joy that exists within us. John Piper did a series on Philippians entitled Jesus and the Journey to Joy. In it, he proposed this definition. Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul, produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. Let me read that again. Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. You remember that passage, the reading of the passage of Elizabeth and her reaction when Mary came? The passage said that she was filled with the Holy Spirit and that the joy of her child when he heard the voice of Mary. The Holy Spirit brought upon her, shared his joy at the coming to them of the Messiah. This definition still does assign that joy is an emotion. It is that which uplifts the believer and adds to their enjoyment or carries them through difficult circumstances. It is God's joy that was proclaimed to and experienced by the shepherds that night. You can only imagine what kind of emotions they would have had, going from being completely fearful to then recognizing that they were the ones who were getting the announcement of the fact that God had sent his son. And here he is, close enough that we can go see him. He's in Bethlehem. He's in a manger stall. He's there with his parents. Go worship him even tonight. And they experienced the message and the uplifting power of God's joy. We see it again in the wise men who came later to come to see the child and their exceeding joy at God's showing them where he was. But we also see God's joy displayed in other areas of Scripture. We see Paul and Silas in a prison, shackled together, singing praises and worshiping him. I am sure they were being given God's joy. And not only in that activity, but later, after the prison was opened up, they got the chance to witness to the jailer who he and his family got saved. And you can imagine that the joy was then further fulfilled in Paul and Silas. Here they had not only been singing through their bad situation, but now seeing how God brought it to good. God's joy, a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit. See, it is an emotion but it is not based on our experience, but rather one by produced by God's Spirit. Especially as he points our focus toward our Savior. That was the second half of this definition, as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ. This is where this emotion of God's joy comes in. God's angels, the angel of the Lord, his pronouncement was miraculous, but it also pointed the shepherds to the baby. The star was also miraculous, but it pointed the wise men to the baby. Today, his Spirit indwells each one of us, and he points us to Christ through his word and through the world around us. Those of you who were here a couple of weeks ago, we were in the section of Psalm 119 that was verses 57 to 64. And we were talking about the writer's promise to be obedient to God's word and how the different ways that he was going to rely on the Lord to help him accomplish that. And verse 64 says, "The earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes." We know that the word, our scriptures, are full of ways that point us to Christ. But they are also an example in the world around us. He is still working today. We need to train our eyes so that we see and we look for what God is doing. Not only be distracted by what man is doing. What he is doing in the world should continue to teach us more about who God is and fill us with his joy. So what was the joy that God was giving to all humanity on that night 2,000 years ago? Was he giving wealth through this child? He was born in a stable, the adopted son of a carpenter. He did not bring any wealth, humanly speaking, into the world that he was going to give out. Was he giving health? Well, he definitely healed the sick during his ministry, but he didn't cure all of the world's diseases during the time he was here. And there were certainly many who remained sick even while he walked the earth. Was he bringing world peace? The angel said it was peace to all men. The Israelites were still under Roman rule. He was not the one that they expected to be a conquering savior. He came instead to conquer sin. So was he giving everything that man could desire? Is this what this exceeding joy was all about? Well, I would say we should pause for a second to consider that he had already given this to mankind. Adam and Eve were placed in a perfect garden. There was nothing that they lacked for, nothing that they wanted. Both they and the earth were innocent. There was no sin in the world, no resulting effects of sin, no thorns, no sweat and labor to produce, no pain in childbearing. Everything had been proclaimed good by God. And there was only one rule in the garden. This was as close to perfection on earth as we have ever had. Man gave up that perfection in order to pursue the lie that they would become like God. So what then was the joy given to all people that night in Bethlehem? God was giving himself. God gave the world the gift of himself. We had a couple of the brothers reference Galatians passages this morning, that these were things that had been prepared long before, that there is a promise of a Savior, and that he came to give himself. God, the giver and sustainer of life, stepped into humanity. The Creator was now taking on the form of the creation. God the Son, as Isaiah 9:6 said, he was given to humanity, given as a child. He came to be born as a baby with an appointed purpose of offering himself in our place to purchase our redemption on the cross. This is the completion of the announcement. We only read verse 10, but verse 11, the angel specifies that the joy that to be to all people was because this baby was going to be born in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord, and he would be a Savior. So how can we experience God's joy in our Christmas celebration and in our lives today? We must be focused on him and on the work of his Son. Jeremy shared a quote in the Breaking of Bread meeting the last week, and it was in line with where I had already been studying, and I had to go look up this quote. The quote is again by John Piper, and it's in his book, God is the Gospel, Meditations on God's Love as the Gift of Himself. The quote is, the critical question for our generation and for every generation is this: if you could have heaven with no sickness and with all the friends you ever had on earth and all the food you ever liked and all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed and all the natural beauties you ever saw, all the physical pleasures you ever tasted, and no human conflict or any natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ was not there? Could we be satisfied with heaven if all of those things were true, but Christ was not there? Let me ask you the question a different way this morning. If Christmas is filled with all the things that we want, the time with family and friends, the giving and receiving of gifts, the traditions, but Christ is not a part of it, could we be satisfied with the celebration? This is the crux of the difference between human happiness and the true joy that God is offering through Christ. Would we be willing to settle for the ideal of human happiness rather than experiencing the true joy that God has to offer? Human happiness focuses on us. By this scale, our enjoyment of Christmas will be based on our experience. Did we get everything we want? Did we get to spend time with our loved ones, our family, and our friends? Is our time spent with them uplifting? To experience the fullness of God's joy, we need to lose the focus on ourselves and allow His Spirit to show us more about Him and His Son. Take the time to meet Him in His Word and meditate on what it meant for God to give His Son to humanity. You might be thinking that this is something easy to say, something easy to speak, something easy to exhort everyone on. And I'll be honest with you. Preparing Christmas messages has at times been difficult for me. And this message was no exception. To prepare a message on joy was a bit of a challenge. It was 27 years ago tomorrow that the family I grew up in celebrated its last Christmas. Following the giving of gifts, I helped my dad pack all of his stuff. And I followed him to his new apartment, where I helped him unpack it all and said goodbye, because he and my mother had recently gotten divorced. If I allow myself to dwell on those things, the human part of me has no joy in Christmas. And Satan wants to take that joy away. I needed to be reminded of what God did when He sent His Son. He sent Himself for me and for you. There is nothing that will happen tomorrow that will in any way replace or exceed what has already been done. So what do we need to do then if we want to experience this great joy that the angel was describing? First, we need to be a part of God's family. If you're here this morning and you have never confessed to the Lord that you are a sinner who needs the salvation offered through His Son, then you are incapable of experiencing the joy that we've been describing this morning. That is sad to say, but it is true. But just as the angel declared that this joy was to be to all people, it is something that you still have the opportunity to experience. John 3:16 was read earlier as well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall be saved. They shall have eternal life. Why do we need to be saved? Because we know in Romans 3:23 and in 6:23, Paul is very clear that we're all sinners. Not a one of us can say to a holy God, I don't need your salvation. Because the wages of the sin in our life, the just reward for what we've done, is that we would be eternally separated from God. What a joy and what a comfort it is to read Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died so that we do not have to. He was separated from his Father while he took upon himself our sin so that we will never have to experience that separation. And the way to go from being outside of his joy to experiencing it in Romans 10 and verse 9 is to confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. So if you have never come to God and expressed that because of the sin in your life, you need salvation that he has offered through his Son, make Christmas 2017 the year that you receive the greatest gift ever offered. God wants to give you himself and bring you into his family. Look for one second at a couple of verses in Luke 15. Luke 15 and starting at verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls all of his friends together and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. There's God's joy. God still experiences his joy when one who is lost expresses, I need the salvation that you've offered through your Son. This joy is still available to us today. So secondly then, for those of us who have given our lives to the Lord, how can we enjoy this same exceedingly great joy in the coming celebration of our Lord's birth? Well, let me say, in answer to John Piper's question, may we be careful to make our celebration of his birth about him and not be satisfied with everything else. May we pray that our joy will not be in what we find under the tree or in the festivities, but it would be based on the remembrance that Almighty God took the most humble form of a man to become a baby in the lowliest of circumstances, in a manger stall in a stable surrounded by the animals. And he did it in order to be able to provide his joy through the work of his Son on the cross. From our study in Philippians, Paul has been exhorting the church to experience joy through unity. Let us encourage one another not to let the circumstances and trials of this life take away from experiencing God's joy as he intended. Let us pray that he will infuse us with the joy through his Spirit as with his love, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his gentleness, and his self-control. I pray that we will all experience his joy this year, not just our own human joy. Not that I don't wish that we would experience that as well, but I hope that we will all share in God's joy this season. Have a Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, first and foremost, that you sent your Son, that he was willing to come and that he was willing to carry out the plan that you set for him prior to the world beginning. We thank you that he set aside his glory and came in the form of a lowly man. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for what you have to teach us through it. We thank you that as we dig into it, we learn more and more about you. And we pray that you would continue to teach us, help us to desire to see you in your word. We pray that each one here, as we celebrate the coming of our Savior, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that our celebrations would be focused on you and that we would experience not only a human emotion, but the joy that you have to offer. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.